Today we will conclude our mini-series on a church upbringing. Last week we saw Mary and Joseph take the baby Jesus to the temple and describe the law of Moses. They had encounters with Simeon and Anna, these elderly folks who blessed the family and praised God, which provided us with a valuable model for cross-generational relationships. The elders of the faith community blessing the younger members of the church. Same thing takes place here. I also pray that we've been praying about different and new ways that we can offer a blessing to others as we journey through 2018. We also saw how the recognition and acknowledgement of Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of world puts us in a place of peace. Our lesson this morning takes place in the wilderness, where we see John the Baptist baptizing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear the word of the Lord as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning in the first verse. You'll find that in the Pew Bible on page number 812. 812 in the Pew Bible, Mark 1 and 1. Subtitle, John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts, wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Gospel of Mark is the only Gospel that names itself. Gospel. Chapter 1, verse 1. The Gospel of Mark also leaves out the nativity story and begins with baptism of Jesus, which, as we know, is the beginning of the Lord's earthly ministry. As far as Mark is concerned, the baptism of Jesus is the starting point of the Gospel message. Part of the reason why Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels. Mark places a great emphasis on the cross, both the human cause, our sin nature, and the divine need for the cross, as it provided a means of reconciliation between humanity and the Lord God Almighty. Mark begins his description of John by including some Old Testament prophecy. First from Isaiah, Bible scholars would tell us that a portion of this prophecy, although being named as coming from Isaiah, actually comes from the prophet Malachi. Mark even appears to have taken some liberty with that prophecy, maybe a sort of transliteration to help describe John as the one who was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. The voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way, make a straight path for him. some of the same things we remember during the season of Advent are the things we need to be reminded of when we talk about the ministry of John. The ministry of John baptism was twofold. He preached the baptism of repentance and forgiveness of our sins. And his ministry took place in the desert, in the wilderness, away from civilization of the temple. We have this wild man, we describe him as being one clothed in a camel hair garment, would come in handy on a day like today, be wrapped up in that camel hair, nice and warm, have a belt around us. A cat ate locusts with honey. Man, I think of something else when I think about my dietary needs. But he proclaims this good news, that one is coming more powerful than he. The scriptures tell us that the whole Judean countryside and all the people from Jerusalem went out to hear him. I say this, John must have been quite a preacher. People come from far and wide to hear what he had to say. From all over the region to hear this baptizer preach. Speak well of his ministry. John tells the people that he's not worthy to untie the sandals of the one who comes after him. What does that say about the ministry? John knows that the promised Messiah would bring forth a ministry unlike anything the world has ever known. John performs this ritualistic cleansing of water, but Jesus, our Lord, was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus goes down to the Jordan. He goes down to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And Mark keeps it simple. There's no discussion between the baptizer and the Lord. No argument about who should baptize who. Mark tells us that Jesus goes down to the Jordan. And the next thing we see is the Lord coming up out of the water. And what happens next is what we need. Followers. Jesus sees the heavens being torn open, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove, and a voice comes from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." In a moment of ritualistic cleansing, we see all three persons of the Trinity. We see the Father. They're all witnessed in this moment of holiness, this moment of righteousness, this moment that begins the earthly ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. You know, there are many reasons that Jesus would submit to baptism, but there are two that I find most striking. Even though Jesus was the only person throughout all of eternity who was without sin, he came to John to be baptized. And he did so in order to identify with the human condition of sin. Jesus did not need to repent from his sin. He was sinless. Jesus had no sin. But through this ritualistic cleansing, Jesus identified with Secondly, his baptism was an example for all who would come after him. For all who would follow Jesus, to follow the example of Christ being baptized. For all who would place their trust in him, him alone, and in his grace, Jesus is the example for you and for me. I'd like to draw some comparisons between the Lord's baptism and our own baptism. Just as the baptism of Jesus marks the beginning of his earthly ministry, baptism begins for us a life of discipleship. We've been baptized into something. It's not just a splash of water. Put on a show. Some ritual up here. Something happens. We become baptized as disciples. We become disciples of Christ. And as such, are members of the body of Christ. We become a part of the worldwide community of followers of Christ. We're baptized into the family of God and thus become children. God's children, you and I, beloved sons and daughters of the one who loves us the most. The second point that I'd like to share is that Jesus comes to the water of John's baptism without an invitation. John didn't invite him. The rabbi didn't invite him. There's no mention of Mary and Joseph telling Jesus to go down to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Jesus, just like you and just like me, are drawn to the waters of baptism by the Spirit of God. It's God at work through your parents if you were baptized as an infant. It's the same Spirit of God that draws an adult in the sacrament of baptism. It's the Spirit of God that's at work in and through baptism. It's the same Spirit that descended on Christ when he came up out of the water. As Methodists, we believe that baptism is a means of grace. And that it's God's amazing grace that draws us to the waters of baptism by the power and presence of God's Spirit. The irresistible power of God's love calling us into the light of faith. It's by faith and faith alone that we come to the waters of baptism. Either the faith of the person being baptized, or the faith of that person's parents if they're an infant. It's always by faith. We have faith that we receive God's gift of grace in this sacrament. Thanks be to God. I'd like to close by taking a minute to talk about our role in everyone's baptism. Baptismal covenant number one. This is the baptismal covenant that we use in most of our baptisms, or at least some form of it. And you can see the introduction to the service. Through the sacrament of baptism, we're initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and are given new birth through water and the Spirit. This is all God's gift. All go on to affirm our faith, either our faith or the faith of those being confirmed, and then we name these persons who are being baptized. And then the pastor, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's Rick, before him it's Patty, and on behalf of the whole church, we ask the person being baptized if they would renounce their spiritual forces, the spiritual forces of the wickedness, and reject the evil power. You accept the freedom, the power that God gives you to resist evil and injustice. You confess Christ as your Savior with your whole faith in his trust. I'm on page 34. Then we talk to the parents and sponsors and take the children. We nurture these children. And this is what I'm preaching about last week and this week. Raise up children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. And then according to the grace given to you when you remain faithful members of the church. What's your role? Will you who sponsor these children, talking about sponsoring godparents in some cases, support and encourage them in their Christian life? And then the pastor turns to the congregation. Do you, Christ's body, the church, reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk way that lead a life. That's our commitment. We're going to teach them by our example. We're going to what set a good example for us being baptized. But we also say that we're going to pray for them. In 2017, we had 12 persons baptized in our church. And me, even old Pastor Dave, when I was thinking about this list, that I did not have it. I only knew I could come up with in my memory only. And I would give this list to anybody who wants it. But what I'm going to do with this list at the end of the 11 o'clock service, I'm going to hold it up here, and I'm going to put it in this box right here. Because I know that there are people gathered here on Wednesday who are serious about this prayer thing that we do. And I would encourage any of you to join. And I can promise you that these well persons will be prayed for. Every single year, our prayer. That's where the rubber meets the road. You know, prayer is the thing that drives the church. It's the fuel that keeps the church going. We pray, pray, pray. What should we pray? If you don't know what to pray, sit, be still. The Spirit will come to you. We'll be thinking about these people. And even if you don't know their names, even if you don't have a word, God knows. God knows every single hair upon each of their heads. As we conclude our mini-series on church upbringing, the value of raising children in the church, you can see where our responsibility is. Train up a child in the way they should go, so that when they're old, they'll not depart from that training. Just like Jesus, when he was 12, in the temple, he said to his teachers questions about things he wrote before the dawn of time. So let's train up our children right, so that when they're old, they'll remember the truth, that they are loved, dearly loved. This is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, whom I love. Voice of God, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. So that as we, each of us, disciples, may be disciples to make disciples, and as those disciples may be disciples to make disciples, and may those disciples be disciples that make disciples. And here we are 2,000 years later, looking down the truth of the Great Commission. Go forth and baptize all men in the name of the Father. Amen and amen.